But we're joined by Henry Schulman, who we love to talk to. Henry, of course, covers the Giants for the San Francisco Chronicle down in L.A. Henry, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I was just thinking if Twitter had been around in 1963 after that game, nobody would mention Marshall's spine or Mays for hitting the home run to win it. All they'd be talking about is how the Giants were shut out for 15 innings and what the hell they're going to do about it.
Yeah, and they probably would have said, what's up with in the third inning when Marshall was losing 4-2, they probably would have been going nuts on Twitter. Get him out, get someone else in, and of course, in those days, you would weather the storm, and he gave up three hits the rest of the way. But, Henry, you love Twitter. We love following you on Twitter at Hank Schulman. You have fun with Twitter. You really do.
I really. You have to because, I mean, Twitter is just sort of like a maelstrom of negativity, and, like, it's the worst of humanity that comes out, you know, and you can't really take it seriously. You have to have fun with it. I mean, there's some good things on Twitter, and there's some nice people on Twitter. They just don't tweet a lot. It's to all the people who are already assume that the Giants are going to be the worst hitting team in baseball again, just based on what happened in three games and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I just try and be lighthearted. Sometimes people don't get it. Sometimes people think I'm serious. And like the other night, I made like a sarcastic comment about how, hey, they started this new thing where they play the first lick from Beethoven's Fifth every time there's a strikeout. What a novel idea. That's never been done before. And of course, they've been doing it here forever. And some people were correcting me going, oh, no. They've been doing this forever. You know, and, I just laugh at that.
Very good. Well, I have fun following you. I told you that you're one of my favorites at Hank Schulman on Twitter. Henry, over the first three games, you know, you never know what to expect in baseball, and it sort of lived up to that. What do you take away from the first three games? And I realize it's only three games, but what did you learn about the team in the first three?
I haven't learned anything about the team. I mean, let's be honest, Marty, it's three games. What I've learned or what I, you know, can try and convey is that for both teams, you know, they've played three baseball games in cool, damp climate, and for the first time these pitchers are coming out here and their breaking balls are breaking sharply, and you know, it's just not like hitting in Arizona, and these hitters are not adjusting to it just yet, for both teams, I just my last tweet was the fact that right now Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, Logan Forsythe, and Yasiel Puig are over 35. Well, you know, they're not going to be over 35. You know, one thing that I've liked from the Giants' perspective, the first few games is I'm really starting to think they have the makings of an exceptional bullpen, not just at the back end with Strickland and guys like Strickland, Watson, Osich, you know, Guerra, and guys who've been around. But, I mean, even last night, I realized it was garbage time, but the Giants trotted out Reyes Maranta. He goes, throws 98 miles an hour, 1-2-3 inning through the heart of the Dodger lineup. You know, Pierce Johnson, who was a first rounder in 2012, just like Chris Stratton, you know, kind of bounced around through the Cubs organization. He comes in and has 1-2-3 innings. So for a team that really is going to be a little weak in the rotation until they get Samardzija and Bumgarner back, that's actually the one positive I think I can take out of these first three games.
Hey, Henry, Adam Copeland here with you. Question I want to piggyback on that. I was going to ask you about that tweet in regards to Bellinger, Seager, Puig, and Forsythe. The Dodgers, I mean, they were red hot last year. Bellinger had an insane rookie season and an incredible OPS after the eighth inning, the highest ever for a rookie. And you're attributing some of the offensive woes for both teams even to playing down in Southern California versus playing in L.A. Are we attributing most of the success then to that or to the bullpen? Or are we thinking that the Dodgers offense could actually take a step back with the I mean, it's clearly not the same without Justin Turner in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to take a step back. I mean, I think what happens is teams, favorite saying that Dusty Baker had was that water rises to its own level. And, I mean, the Dodgers are going to be a great team this year. I think that maybe they're due for a little step back more on the pitching side than on the hitting side because, I mean, they used a lot of relief last year. I mean, they pitched through to November just like the Giants. As everybody, Giants knows from 10, 12, and 14, they came back and, you know, the pitching was a little shaky. And but, I mean, they're going to be a good offense. Nobody has to worry about that. I mean, Bellinger's a great hitter. Seager's a great hitter. And it does do something when you take Turner out of the lineup. But, you know, if I were a Dodger follower, the last thing I'd worry about is if they're not going to hit.
Yeah, you know, I was talking last night about the offense, and we'll leave the offense because it's three games. It means absolutely nothing. But don't, you know, people can't lose sight of the fact that it is the Dodger pitching staff, and it was Kershaw, Alex Wood, who was amazing last year. And, of course, last night Maeda did what he's done in the second half of the season, gives you five innings, strikes out 10, then they get him out of there. And tonight it's Rich Hill. They really are going against a tremendous pitching staff. And then Seattle comes in with Marco Gonzalez, who's a lefty who gets lit up all the time, and King Felix. It may look different when we get to Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you said. I mean, the Giants did, you know, they did leave some guys out there on the bases. I think they're 1-for-21 with runners in scoring position, and the one hit, you know, Pence couldn't score from second on. So they are creating opportunities, and eventually hope with the additions of McCutcheon, Longoria, you know, with the health of Crawford, the health of Belt, you know, Posey, all these guys, you know, you'd like to think that you're going to do a better job down the road of driving some of these guys in. That's been a chronic problem for the Giants for years. You know that. Everybody knows that. It's not a matter of creating opportunities. It's a matter of cashing them in. But this is a better lineup than the Giants had at the end of 2016. It's a better lineup than they've had at 20, you know, in 2017. So, you know, we'll see. You know, King Felix had a really good first start. I'm looking forward to that game. That's Cueto and King Felix. I mean, you know, I'm really looking forward to that one. It's going to be so different than what we're going to see Tuesday in the home opener, where you have Ty Block going against his body double. You know, I mean, basically it's Ty Block going against Ty Block with him and Gonzalez. And then on Wednesday, you're going to see, you know, these two great right-handers going at it. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. All right, Henry Schulman with us. Henry, good news on Samardzija. Can we take it to the bank here? Does it look like maybe only one start for him?
No, you can't take anything to the bank with an injury. I mean, you have to – I mean, he threw 20 pitches off a mound yesterday. That's a long way from being ready to pitch by, I guess the date I'm looking at is what, April 15th, because the idea might be that they'll bring a starter up April 10th, probably either Beattie or Suarez, and then 5 days later they could slip Samardzija back in. But he's got to pass a lot of tests there. It is a good sign that he could go out there and throw 20 pitches off the mound. We have to ask him today if he feels fine after that. That, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, it changes everything to have a guy like Samardzija back in the rotation. He gives you length. He's a power pitcher. And I know about all his problems giving up home runs and whatnot, but, you know, having him there, now you're pushing, you know, Holland back to the four spot, Stratton back to the five spot. Stratton, you know, is probably would be one of the better fifth starters around if that's the way it goes. So it really would be critical if he did just miss one start. I think they're crossing their fingers on that.
Henry, what was your take on Holland last night? And I realize McCutcheon, I attributed every run to McCutcheon last night, even the ones in the first inning. But what did you think of Holland last night?
I'm not quite sure how you would attribute the runs in the first inning to
I thought McCutcheon mistimed that leap at the wall. I thought the ball landed low on the wall behind
Yeah, that
him.
Ball was – yeah, that could be. That could be. Maybe you got a better view of it on TV. I thought that ball was crushed. I thought it was going out. But, yeah, Holland, you know, he gave up three hits. I mean, he made one really bad pitch in five innings. He quick-pitched Kike Hernandez 0-2. I asked him about that. He said he's had the that quick pitch for a while. It's not something he's experimenting with. But he did give up a fair number of 0-2 hits in spring training, and that's something that, you know, obviously he needs to do a better job at. He needs to do a better job of not walking guys, although I think the key to that first inning was the 2-2 pitch to Taylor right off the bat to start the game. I think if he had had either of the two home plate umpires Thursday or Friday, that would have been a strikeout, and now it's an entirely different inning. I think that, and you know, if they weren't behind, I think he could have gone six. I don't think that would have been an issue. And then you're talking about, six innings and three earned runs. So, you know, next time out, he just has to throw a few more strikes.
Yeah, I thought he was better than his line. I thought that. Adam, go ahead.
No question.
Yeah. Henry, we're still Longoria. We're three games in again. We're not trying to hammer too hard on the three games, but he still doesn't have a hit yet. We saw Pablo come in yesterday. He had a nice base knock. Are we looking to see Pablo take some time over there at third if Longoria presses a bit?
Yeah, but I don't know that when it's going to happen. I mean, I mean today, if the Dodgers were throwing a right-handed pitcher today, this would be a good opportunity just to give Longoria and then it'll break. But look, they got him. He's going to be the third baseman here for the next 4 years. And it just sends a terrible message if a guy has a bad series to start the year or a bad series at any time, just to pull him out. He did hit one ball really hard yesterday. And Kyle Farmer, who's a catcher playing third base, made a really, really good play. Play on him to save a run.
That was a nice one up the line, yeah.
Yeah, down the line. So, you know, I think he's going to run him out there. There is a concern that when a guy gets a start like that, then it gets into his head and he starts doing the calculations on, well, I need this many hits and I'm just going to be at 150 and things like that. And you don't want that to happen. If it were a younger player, I think you might see, you might see it earlier. I haven't seen the lineup yet today. It would surprise me a little if he pulled Longoria today and had Pablo start against a left-handed pitcher.
That's not going to happen. No. I don't see that. All right, we'll leave it on this, Henry, and we thank you for your time today. Chris Stratton tonight, the curveball, is one of the best in baseball. And I had Eno Saris on with us yesterday, and he knows all the analytics and all the stuff. He said the spin rate on this guy, one of the best in baseball. He had a very good spring training down there and throwing the curveball. Maybe Chris Stratton, in my mind, could be one of the sleepers of the year. You know, the last nine games last year was excellent. What do you think about
him? I think he was already a sleeper last year. You know, I think one of the things about Stratton is that even though he doesn't have much experience in the major leagues, he's not a young pitcher. Just like Marco Gonzalez, we were talking about, he was a 2012 first round pick. So he has a lot of innings under his belt, just not in the majors. And he is fearless out there. And today he's going to face some guys that he really hasn't had to face, in spring training. I mean, he's going to see those big left-handers, looking for their first hit. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he comes out. I did have one scout who watched him say that, you know, he thinks he's a legitimate 3-4 starter in the major leagues, three on the top side, maybe four, on the average. Right now he'll be the number five starter. But if he's the number five starter and he pitches like he did last year, that's going to be a pretty big boon for the Giants.
Absolutely. Henry, thanks for the time. As always, look forward to seeing you at Hank Shulman on Twitter, and I'll look forward to seeing you at the opener on Tuesday. Thank you.
You got it, Marty.
All right, thanks, Henry. All right, that is Henry Shulman. What a pleasure. Always gives you a good report.
And I love the sense of humor with Henry.
He's the best.
He's
on
great.
Twitter. I tell you, I follow him. He's very funny, and he gets into it. You know, Raph, with Henry on Twitter, he really gets into it with people. And
He won't let up either.
Great.
He won't just say something and then, okay, that's it. No, he'll keep going.
It's fun. I think it's fun. Plus, he knows baseball, and he gives you that good background, that good knowledge. And then, of course, you get into the Twitter arguments all the time and, back and forth. Yeah, he doesn't take it lightly, let me tell you that.
He said Twitter brings out the worst in humanity.
It's fun. I love it.
That's a good line, man.
I love it. I'm on it all day long, and during the game we tweet and all that stuff.